Good morning, everybody. It really is pleasant to see all you guys back. Really, really nice seeing you guys. Well, we had a conference last week. It was good. It was a praise the Lord. There was definitely some freeing things for us to get shed of. And you know, in the situation that we have, you know, we look at, looked at Joshua. Look how Joshua was faithful to Moses, and you look how the children of Israel had that opportunity to go forth and take over the promised land and watch the Lord move, go forward in what he had for them. And you know, we have that same opportunity now. I mean, every day we have that opportunity to practice faith in his name. And walk in love. Walk as he walked. And there's a couple different points there. I mean, we have all the opportunity to grow forward in the Lord. You know, as Joshua was faithful to Moses, and then because Joshua was faithful to Moses, when Moses had passed, Joshua, the Lord was with Joshua as he was with Moses. And when you look at that and you go, man, what opportunity Joshua had, right? But we have that same one too. I mean, the Lord has set up in a line of authority there. When we got disciples, we got brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we can be faithful unto them. And what that does is just us being faithful unto them is actually us being faithful unto the Lord. That's how that's set up. Wives, you got your husbands. When you're faithful unto them, you're what? Faithful unto the Lord. Children, you have your parents. When you're faithful unto them, you're faithful unto the Lord. Servants. You have opportunity there. When you're faithful to your master, you're faithful unto the Lord. And so when you look out here, we need to take that view and really actually look at it as what? Opportunity to grow in the Lord. To grow strong in the faith. And not just for ourselves, but for those that don't know the Lord. Because your faithfulness unto the Lord is a witness to those that are without. Just that faithfulness. You might not even have to speak a word. And it be an example to somebody that is without. And when I say without, without the Lord. So it's a very important thing. The structure that the Lord has set up. And also it's important right here in this body, in this church body down here. Because when we start as a people becoming faithful unto the Lord is going to bring people to hear His Word. And to know His Gospel. And that's what it's about. What did Jesus say? He said, you will know you're my disciples by your what? Love for one another. And what are they going to see? The Lord wants to bring a people to know Him to a body that is loving one another. What does the Lord also say? He says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And we have in that way everything that I just talked about the faithfulness there. And that faithfulness is choosing to love the Lord your God. That's what that is. So we had a refresher. Amen. And I can tell that there is a difference among you guys that have came back. I didn't spend that much time, but I can tell the difference. It's a praise the Lord. So let's start choosing the Lord. Let's start looking at all the situations and all the things that we have to do as opportunity for the gospel to go out. An opportunity to love one another. And if we actually start walking that out, watch what the Lord starts doing. So let's come together and be that body that He has called us to be. Amen.
An opportunity to walk as He walked. And I was actually listening to John, and there were John 13, there were a couple of verses in there that really provoked me, started me thinking. And so I went into the Bible here and started reading John chapter 13. It didn't really take me where I thought it was going to take me. But it was a minister's conference, right? And our job as ministers is interesting. And I contrast it to some of the more celebrated and media-friendly ministers who we see and hear regularly. DirecTV's got a commercial on. It appears now that Joel Osteen has his own Sirius channel. And they're heavily promoting that point. And I'm thinking to myself, the line that he keeps using is, there is a power in you that is greater than any power that is against you. Really? You're afraid to name that power? It has a name, but that's kind of presumptuous as hell. Because he's speaking to the world, and that power isn't in the world. There's a power in the world, but it's not the one you want. I just mealy mouth, bland, no truth, no gospel. There's no Jesus. I've never heard, I've seen him on television a lot, I've never heard him use the name Jesus. Not once. There is no gospel, there is no ministry, there is no message unless there's Jesus. Anyway, I had a problem with that. We have in John 13, they're doing what is referred to as the Last Supper. And after they ate, it says in verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. All right, that's scary. So, Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. We don't want to go there. That no part with you is not something I want to deal with. And that put the fear of God in him. It would have put the fear of God in me too. That's not what I want to hear. So let's go full bore. Get it all clean. Jesus saith unto him, He that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he'd washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You have any idea? Do you know what this means? Do you realize what's happened here? That's a question that he's asking. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. To walk as he walked. To do as he did. In his place. If I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All right. If Jesus is Word and the Holy Ghost are the cleaners, yet we, like these disciples' feet, are in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we're in it. And that dirty old world stuff kinds of gets on us and dusts up our body, doesn't it? It's in Ephesians where Paul tells them to speak, to lie not to one another, but speak the truth, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak truth one to another. Why? Well, for one thing, it knocks that dirt off. And that's our job as ministers, is to go around knocking that dirt off of people, speaking the truth, speaking the gospel to those outside, proving the gospel to those that are inside. That's why he says, Know ye not what I've done to you? Know ye what I have done to you? Let me tell you. Then he goes into this, and the master is not, a servant's not greater than the master. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. That's an interesting concept that isn't taught very much today. At least I don't hear anybody else talking about it. I want to be happy, and I'm happy when I do the things of the Lord. That's true. But you need to know, full disclosure, when you're putting on Jesus, you're not putting on a bunch of happy clappy all the time. Because they did not treat Jesus very well. And that's where your love of choice, of preferring Him over yourself and preferring others over yourself, it's an action of consequence. They didn't receive Him very well. They're not going to receive you, and you have no expectation. That's the part that's missing in Christendom today. The expectation that we're going to get a better deal than Jesus did. There's presumption and arrogance. That was then. I'm special now. I'm not going to get the same kind of treatment. Well, of course I am. You know, if you're a minister in Houston right now, you might be thinking again about how safe the First Amendment's right of religious freedom. Free exercise clause is what it says. I'm able to freely exercise my religion, my faith. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in Houston they have subpoenaed the messages of the pastors in the area for a court challenge of an ordinance that has something to do with forcing them to do same-sex weddings and that kind of thing. I don't know. It's a church and state conundrum that's working the other way. And it doesn't matter whether these people are giving the truth and good messages or they're, you know, speaking mumbo jumbo on Sunday, the state has no business scrutinizing their messages. These are churches that came against a referendum that they put on the ballot to establish what they were trying to do by regulation. And when these churches came against it and the ballot lost by something like 71 to 28 or something like that, it really got tanked. But there's another one in Idaho where people that didn't perform a gay wedding was, they're threatened with jail time. But buddy, this society is turning, and it's our saltiness that's at risk. It's what's causing it. Our lack of saltiness. When you speak the truth, it's like to someone, it's like rubbing a salt in an open wound. About why would you rub salt in there? Just for the irritation? No, it sterilizes the wound. It prevents corruption. We are supposed to be doing that in the world. I really digress with all that. It all comes back to an arrogant presumption that we're going to get a better deal than Jesus did. The enemies come to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're going to get the same treatment from the enemy as Jesus did. He's going to try and kill, steal, and destroy. The difference is Jesus won. And we can, in Jesus, partake in that victory. And don't act like you're defeated. Act like you are in Jesus and have secured the victory. Take it to them, man. I really hope this country hears and turns. You know, and I pray that. But I tell you what, if we don't start getting serious with the Lord and get it right here in our midst, there's no reason to expect anywhere else it's going to happen in this country. And it's only when that happens, and it happens in these little groups all over the country, is anything going to turn. It's got to happen everywhere. But our job as ministers is to take that word and minister everywhere we can and watch the dirt fall off because of the washing of the word and water. You're made clean. And when you do that, you may not get the praise of man, but you'll be able to be happy in the Lord. I'm done.